House will be in order. Introduction of bills.
Senate File 615, a bill for an act relating to the state and local finances by making appropriations, providing for legal and regulatory responsibilities, providing for other properly related matters, and including effective date and retroactive political provision.
First reading of the bill is an recommend amendment passed on file. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschittle. The House is in order. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to suspend the provision of Rule 75, which prohibits voting after midnight, just in case we get to that point.
Are there objections? Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I ask for unanimous consent to immediately consider House File 894.
Are there objections? Chair hears none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, please recognize Representative Moore for consideration of House File 894.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore, for opening remarks on House File 894.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the First Amendment.
H1537 by Moore of Scott.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore, for H1537.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment 1537 is the standings bill for this session and is one of the most boring standing bills in recent memory. Division 1 makes... Division 1 makes changes to standing appropriations, including a $15 million reduction to the funding for area education agencies. This has been in place for the last 10 years. We also set the funding level for non-public school transportation at $8.997 million for this year, which is an increase of $800,000. And we again do not provide funding for instructional support aid. Division 2 makes additional appropriations. The division provides the remaining money needed for the human resources and budgeting computer system upgrade via Workday. This will be funded in fiscal year 21. Division 2 also provides an additional $200,000 in fiscal year 2022 for the Indigent Defense Program to help cover costs incurred by providing adoption assistance for lower-income Iowans. Division 3 is the portion of the amendment from LSA that makes corrections to previously passed legislations. Now, I know many of you would like me to give a detailed explanation of each section in this division, but I think we can trust LSA when they promise that these are simply corrections to bills that have already been passed. Division 4 makes a correction to the child care cliff bill, which is finally headed to the governor. The bill currently states that reimbursement rates to providers will be set as of July 1st. Members of the Human Resources Committee have asked that we strike that date from the bill so that these rates rise with other parts of the child care assistance programs. Those rates are set as part of the Human Resource Services budget bill. Division 5 deals with the bill concerning the operation of amusement rides. Division 6 makes that bill effective on April 30th. Division 6 makes correction to the bill we passed earlier this year regarding mileage reimbursement for transporting bodies to the state medical lab in Ankeny. Division 7 amends language which currently requires wages at Iowa's casinos to be at least 125% of the minimum wage. This will remain the law as long as the minimum wage stays at $7.25 an hour. This division also makes a correction to the justice system budget as language was inadvertently removed regarding gaming enforcement costs. Division 8 makes a change to the Office of the Chief Information Officer. This would require OCIO to have a chief financial officer. This comes at the request of the governor's office and the Department of Management. Divisions 9 through 12 address an issue that has been very important to many members in this chamber for many, many years. funding our EMS services. Representatives Kaufman and Hine have been going the extra mile to get agreement on a way to allow voters to decide if they want to increase their property taxes to increase funding for their local EMS services. Mr. Speaker, that is the amendment, and that is this year's standings bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there a discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Cedar, Representative Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I just want to speak to the provision of the standings bill that refers to emergency medical services funding. For 50 years, five decades, our ambulance services have been asking for this piece of legislation. It is a very real reality that if we had not accomplished this today, in some of our districts, a loved one would be dying, someone would call 911, and either somebody wouldn't answer or somebody wouldn't get there in time. This legislation, this piece of policy legislation in this bill is truly a generational change to be able to give our counties or our cities or our districts the ability to finally levy for and raise the funds to fully fund our ambulance services. I don't usually do a whole bunch of thank yous, but this is such a significant, such an impactful, and such a huge piece of legislation that I do need to dole out a few thank yous. As far as for a specific thank you back home, I believe that she is listening. Sandy Hike is one of the longest serving paramedics in the entire state of Iowa. And she, back home, has been the singular inspiration for my 9-year push to finally get this across the finish line. So Sandy, the Senate's already passed this. We're about to pass this. We did it. Representative Hine has tirelessly stood behind this cause as the Ways and Means Chair, insisting that this be a part of this very shutdown that we're experiencing right now. So Lee, thank you. Representative Nielsen, it's been 3 years now where this has been a huge priority of yours and many members of your caucus. Back in 2019, you carried the workload that set the foundation for us to be able to be here today to get this done. To my caucus, to the countless members of my caucus that have stated this is a huge and important issue to them, I need to thank all of you, but also one specific thank you. He knows exactly what he had to do to get this. So Jared, thank you. Finally, two final thank yous. The body needs to know that while I've been pushing for this for 9 years, for each and every one of you on both sides of the aisle, that this is important to you and that this getting finally across the finish line is a huge success. You need to know that this bill, this policy piece in this bill would not exist. It would not have passed the Senate, and we would not be here tonight about to pass it down to the governor's desk were it not for the relentless, tireless efforts of our speaker, who insisted that this be a part of this shutdown. So thank you, Pat. And then finally, when we started moving this legislation last year in the state government committee, Representative Thompson and I had a conversation about why this was so important to him. And I'm not going to relitigate that story that you've heard on the House floor a couple of different times, but I just want to close with this. Phil, I do believe passionately that your mom is watching right now. She's proud of you, and we did it. So thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I'll save the remainder of my comments for final passage of the bill. For the time, I would encourage a no vote on this amendment, and I'll reapproach the microphone here in a few moments.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore, for closing remarks on Amendment 1537.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
Gentleman from Scott moves Amendment 1537. All those in favor shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed vote no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the amendment is adopted. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott for a substitution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 615 for House File 894.
Are there objections? Chair hears none, so ordered. Would you like further opening comments on Senate File 615, Representative Moore?
No, I've made those comments. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Representative Moore, pleasure to work with you this year. I'm glad, as you mentioned, that this is a fairly small standings bill, something that we should be able to make fairly quick work of. The overview that Representative Moore provided of this bill is accurate. I know that there are a number of issues that our caucus had concern with, and it seems potentially as though the majority caucus also had some concerns with, and so they were not included in this bill. I do want to briefly discuss a few of the things that remain in this bill and why I will continue to urge a no vote on final passage of the standings. First of all, the direction of state government. There have been many moments over this last session where I think we have been on the same page, where we've had similar ideas about the programs and changes that state government needs to make. And there have also been plenty of moments this year where there have been differences. This standings bill accounts for $3.9 billion of the $8.2 billion budget that the state of Iowa maintains. And contained within here, there are some good and some bad. Among the things that I remain concerned about are our area education agencies. We know that children's mental health, the issue itself, and also the need to make changes and improve funding and address the significant need for mental health services in the state is something that we've discussed for many years now. Our area education agencies are one of the places that is best suited to try and affect those changes, to put people who are experts in the field directly in the classroom, working with educators, working with children, to improve mental health services. And the cut of $15 million to our area education agencies, though it has happened over a period of years, is one that I believe that we need to work toward addressing and providing better, adequate, long-term solutions for them and supporting them in order to support our children. The workday provision. I understand last year that the majority party had reservations about this contract, as well you should. This is a contract that occurred because the governor's office insisted in it and went around all of the possible vetting, the opportunities to conduct a competitive bid, the opportunity to ensure to taxpayers that their dollars were going to be well spent. And at the beginning of this session, after the legislature got snookered into paying for a contract that it never approved to the tune of $21 million in January, in this bill, you, the majority party, are providing that contract an additional $23 million. In total, over the last 4 months, the legislature is going to appropriate $44 million total for a contract that we never approved, for a contract that is fishy, for a contract that was never let out for competitive bid and has all sorts of signals that this is a bad deal for taxpayers. And by providing the end funding for this contract and making it so that you do not have to engage in the conversation again next year, I understand the political reasons. I understand that there is some benefit and convenience from moving on from it, but the benefit will not extend to taxpayers. The provision for casino workers and lowering the minimum wage should the federal government actually increase the minimum wage sometime in the near future. There are communities across this state where we embrace our casino, we embrace the workforce who go there, we embrace the challenges that they have to continue to work through, knowing that these are also environments that continue to have tobacco smoke and really a number of interesting features in terms of the challenges that workers in the casinos will encounter while going to work. And to include a provision in this bill that will ultimately lower their wage should the federal government choose to try and increase their wage is a terrible idea. It's not something that we should be using public policy and the force of state government to do. At a time that we are talking about a workforce shortage in this state, one of the things that will help to fill those open positions is increasing the available wage to those workers and to proactively take their footing out from beneath them and make sure that their wage remains low. It's shameful. Lastly, on the EMS provision, I do want to acknowledge also the good bipartisan work that has been done on this issue for several years. I want to acknowledge my colleague and friend, Representative Nielsen, for her work on this. And I also want to say that I'm proud that we have all had an opportunity to support it. On February 23rd, this chamber voted in support of it 93-0 before our Senate colleagues drug their feet. I'm glad that it's included in there. For me, it does not trump some of the concerns and shortcomings that this bill still has. I would just like to close by again saying I've enjoyed working with my colleagues on the Appropriations Committee. I've enjoyed especially the last week or two being able to see so many of you smiling safely here in this chamber now that we're able to work in close contact and do so in a good manner that preserves all of our health. That is a good way to close. I encourage a no vote on this bill. I look forward to seeing you all next year.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes Representative Moore for closing remarks on Senate File 615.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hall, I too want to thank you for a good year. We've had a very respectful relationship, and I want to thank the entire committee, the minority members as well as the majority members. We've done a lot of good for the people of Iowa and a lot of discussion. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the bill.
Gentleman from Scott moves Senate File 615 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. Clerk will read.
Senate File 615, a bill for an act relating to the state and local finances, making appropriations, providing for legal and regulatory responsibilities, providing for other properly related matters, and including effective date and retroactive applicable provisions being enacted by General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? All those in favor of its passage vote aye. All those opposed vote no. The clerk will machine receive your vote. Have you all now voted? The clerk closed the machine. The House paid attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 55. Those voting no, 31. Absent or not voting, 14. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to pass the House. There are objections to the title. Chair hears none. So ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at this time I ask unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 615 to the Senate.
Are there objections? Chair hears none. It's ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the passage of Senate File 615, I ask unanimous consent to withdraw House File 894.
Are there objections? Chair hears none. It's ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Just for the attention of the body, we're at the sign a die resolution. But just once we pass the resolution, we still have to send it to the Senate, get the message back, and then we actually have to adjourn. So the speeches will come after this for those of you that want to sit around and hear us talk. Mr. Speaker, at this time, I ask unanimous consent for the House to consider House Concurrent Resolution 12.
The clerk will read.
House Concurrent Resolution 12 by Grassley and Pritchard, a concurrent resolution to provide adjournment, sine die.
Question now, question, the gentleman from Harrison. I'd like to go back to Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 12.
Gentleman from Harrison moves the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 12. All those in favor shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the resolution is adopted. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to immediately message House Concurrent Resolution 12 to the Senate.
Are there objections? Chair hears none, so ordered. We've reached that time where we will have end of session messages from the leaders. So at this time, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Floyd, Representative Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good evening, Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. First, want to say thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your the working relationship that we enjoyed this this session, for you indulging some of my ideas and working together with me to as we navigate this session together. So thank you, Speaker Grassley. I also want to say thank you to Leader Winchittle. For a Marine, you do pretty well. Those aren't fighting words, are they? No. But no, I appreciate working in the relationship and the trust that we've built together, and you and I both know that our relationship makes this place run so much smoother when we do work together. So thank you for your work and friendship. I also want to thank my fellow caucus members, the House Democrats. You continue to impress me with your leadership and persistence to do what's best for the people of your district in Iowa. I'm in awe of your efforts. I also want to thank the legislative staff, including LSA, the clerks, the pages, especially the pages, the doormen, who put in countless hours to make our important work possible. I especially want to thank the House Democratic staff, Joe, Dean, Jake, Rochelle, Kelsey, Bill, Brian, Dave, Allison, Jesse, and Steph. Thank you all for your hard work, and we couldn't do this job without you. When this session began in January, I challenged each of us in this body to be the leaders that the moment in our history requires, to work together to restore faith and hope in our state, our nation, and our democracy. My caucus, the Democratic Caucus, pledged cooperation and hard work this year to turn the page on the pandemic and focus on long-term recovery efforts for Iowans and our entire economy. Since opening day, unfortunately, 1,875 Iowans have died from COVID-19. Thousands more have become infected. Too many Iowans are still having their lives and livelihoods disrupted by the pandemic, whether it's small business owners who are trying to keep the doors open on their business and hire workers, or the parents struggling to find childcare and keep their jobs in this pandemic. House Democrats kept our promise to Iowans this session. We developed an aggressive plan to help families recover, get kids back in school safely, reopen small businesses, and support our dedicated healthcare workers on the front lines. Unfortunately, instead of working together to enact an aggressive recovery plan in the middle of this life-changing and historic pandemic, Governor Reynolds and Republican leaders chose an agenda that by and large ignored the pandemic. Division over unity and partisanship over common sense ruled the day. This session lacked courage. It was a session that ignored the historic challenges Iowans are facing in this moment today. We should have done more. More for the families who need affordable childcare and not raising property taxes for homeowners. We should have done more to help Iowans who lost their job during the pandemic to get back on their feet, not cut assistance before they find their job or are able to get back into the workforce. We should have helped Iowan students recover, not shift money from public schools to charter schools. We should have worked together to help bring new workers and families to our state and to make Iowa a welcoming state. But instead, we went the other direction by not embracing equality, stripping away basic health care rights, and banning diversity education. This sends the wrong message. We should have provided more accountability and transparency for our tax dollars, not making deals with special interests. My point is, strong leadership requires courage. It takes courage to live in our democracy. It takes courage to speak the truth to those who bend it. It takes courage to stand up to the special interest. It takes courage to speak out against extremist ideals that threaten our democracy. Despite what I would call initiative and courage, I know the people of Iowa will persevere. We always have. We always will. I wish you all a happy summer. You deserve time home with your families. You deserve to turn back to normalcy and get back to your normal routine. When we meet back here next winter in January, I hope you will come with the leadership and courage that Iowans missed out on in this session. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle, for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I've done the pre-written speeches, nothing against anybody that does them, but I decided this time I would just kind of wing it. I know Sue loves it when I do that. So I did jot down a few notes, though. First come the thank yous. The first thank you that I absolutely have to say is I have to thank God the Father. I couldn't do this job without his constant guidance, without his comfort, and without the peace that he gives me. I know I have a reputation around this place for having a steely outer demeanor, but if you knew the crazy that was going on in my head sometimes when I'm standing up in front of this body or standing up in front of my caucus, there's a constant prayer in my head, let's just put it that way. The second, I have to thank my constituents. They have sent me down here for 15 years, and as I've said before, I never anticipated that I would ever attain the position of majority leader and be honored by my caucus to serve them in this capacity. I also have to thank my family. My wife, Evelise, my oldest daughter, Anna, my youngest daughter, Addie, they make the ultimate sacrifice. I know it's a lot of work for us to come down here, but when the oven goes out at home and my wife has to order the parts and replace them, because she bakes a lot, for anybody that wants to know that, that's an absence that I wish I didn't have to cause her to have to deal with. And that's just one of a million things that we all have to go through and our families have to go through. So the ultimate gratitude goes to my family. I have to thank the staff, both upstairs and downstairs. You guys are phenomenal in the speaker's office and our research staff. And I know every leader would say this. They have to, otherwise they get in real big trouble. But I absolutely could not do this job without my chief of staff, McKenzie. Her and Haley kept me going through the campaign and also kept me going through this session. Haley has moved on to greener pastures, and she is missed, but I do have to thank McKenzie. Mr. Speaker, we would not have the session that we have now without your leadership. And as I said to you earlier, I know sometimes we disagree, but I am proud to work with you, proud to serve with you, and I think by far when I look back on 2021, this is gonna be one of the best sessions, and it wouldn't be this session without you. Leader Pritchard, I know sometimes we have to be partisan rivals. I really do enjoy when we get down in the well and you bring the joke of the day just to see if you can get me to crack a smile. You do sometimes, but there are sometimes I can keep that steely outer demeanor. But as you said, I do appreciate how much our friendship has grown this session, our communication level, being able to talk to one another and try and navigate the gridlock that this place can be sometimes and produce a good product for the Iowans that we serve. So I do appreciate working with you. I have to thank Governor Reynolds for her leadership. I know there are a lot of Iowans out there that will look at some decisions that she made over the past 12, 18 months and they'll cast stones, but For the burden that I feel serving as a majority leader, even though it's a privilege, I cannot begin to imagine the burden that Governor Reynolds has been under and the decisions that she's had to make. And yet, we've still come out of it strong as Iowans. We have had one of the most successful legislative sessions. She's laid out a bold agenda. She's helped move things forward. And so I really do appreciate her leadership. I know it's not typical for a politician to stand publicly on the floor that's on video and say, I want to thank the lobby, but I do want to thank the lobby for doing their job. They represent their own constituent base with their clients, and they come down here and provide us with information, and that is why they genuinely have the name of the third house, because we do our jobs better when they're providing us that information and we can get proper feedback from them on what is the best policy to move forward. Doesn't mean we always agree, and sometimes we have to run over their ideas, but they do serve a vital function down here. So now to the crux of it. When I started this year and I gave my speech, as I've given many speeches before in the rostrum when I was a speaker pro tem, or previously, last year when I was elected majority leader, I always look at things and policies that we do down here through the lens of freedom. How are we advancing Iowans' freedom? How are we restoring their freedom? I think that's the quintessential thing that all of us should do whenever we're writing legislation, whenever we're voting on legislation. And I told the speaker down in the rostrum before we got to this point in session that this is going to be the year of freedom for Iowans. And it comes in many different shapes, fashions, and forms. We want to look at education. We've given parents more choice in education. We've given students more options. Just with the bill we passed tonight, we've given them the opportunity to say whether they are or not going to wear a mask. That's a freedom that Iowans have been asking for throughout the state. And there's many other things that we've done with education, but that is a quintessential freedom and part of living in Iowa. Taxes. We passed a tax bill recently. Not only does it cut property taxes, not only does it cut income taxes, we also phase out the inheritance tax and all the other provisions that we did in that. Iowans have more freedom in their pocketbook now, and they have less government hands in their pocket taking their money and spending it in ways that they don't want them to. That is a quintessential freedom. Look, everybody knows my passion for Second Amendment stuff, so you guys knew I was going to say something about the constitutional carry bill that we passed and the Freedom Amendment that we passed, the constitutional amendment proposal that's now moving forward. That is an absolutely essential freedom for Iowans. I mean, think about it, folks. We went from being a may-issue state all the way now to being constitutional carry. That's a freedom that Iowans have been asking for a long time. We're protecting life. I know we disagree on that across party lines, but that is a huge thing for the House Republican Caucus, is to speak for those that don't have a voice of their own, and we believe that we have done that. These are just a few small things. If I went through the list, it would take me a lot longer. I'm not going to do that. We're trying to get out of here. But the bottom line is, I am proud of the work that House Republicans have done in this chamber. I am proud to serve with all of you. I am grateful that the House Republican Caucus has given me the opportunity to let this Amish bearded-looking guy who's a knuckle-dragging Marine, never went to college, and drives a forklift for a living loading beer trucks be your majority leader. To say it's an honor of a lifetime is to use far too few words. So thank you to the House Republican Caucus for trusting me, especially when you were frustrated with me, and I would say, trust me, I'm working on it. So thank you. I also want to thank the minority party. You are the loyal opposition, and I do appreciate the ideas that you brought to the table. I'm glad that many of the things that we've done this year on a large scale have been bipartisan. I mean, we talk about it all the time. The media goes out and reports about all the contentious stuff that we do. But look at some of the bigger bills that we've done this year. They've been bipartisan votes. I mean, there are some things where there's a partisan divide, but by and far, we are working together for the betterment of all Iowans. And I'm proud of that, and I thank the minority party for helping and doing your role in serving your constituents, just like the Republican majority is doing. There's work ahead of us. We got a lot of stuff done this year, but if 15 years down here has taught me anything, there's always a new issue right around the corner, and I'm sure, Sim Salmon, you're gonna be calling me about something next Tuesday. Representative Shipley, I look forward to the long phone calls that we'll have with you down in Fairfield, me in Missouri Valley, and I'll help you as best I can from that distance. But that goes for my entire caucus. You know if you need something from me, you call me. I'll be there. I'll do what I can. And we've got an agenda to start planning for next year. I know that we're going to have to come back and do redistricting here in a few months. I probably won't give a closing speech then, so I'm going to get it all out now. The bottom line is, I am proud of the work that the House has done this year. I'm proud of the Republican caucus, I'm proud of the Democrat caucus, I am proud of what we've been able to accomplish in this august body. And I think Iowans are better served for it. So, thank you to all of you. I wish you all a great summer. I know for one, I'm looking forward to getting out of the suit, back in a red polo, on a forklift, loading those beer trucks. So, Godspeed everyone, and God bless Iowa. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I suppose it's my turn. And Melissa, you put together a very nice speech for me, but I think I'm gonna go off of a few notes here that I made in the last few minutes. There's one thing that I continue to say every time that I get the opportunity to share it, but I don't think I've had the opportunity to do it in this room. And that's that House Republicans represent parts of, if not all of, 97 of Iowa's 99 counties. So when we're asked, where do these ideas come from? Who is it that you work for? What is this radical agenda that you're pushing? Because we continue to hear that, we're aware of it. I would also say that Iowans continue to have rewarded us for over 10 years with the majority. And the people that we speak for are all across the state. Every year when we get together, we bring an agenda that we think can move this state forward. And the best part about it, we've had a lot of debates in here about election law and election integrity and all of those things, but the way I see it is House Republicans campaign on a certain set of things. We want to make sure we have a responsible budget. We want to make sure that Iowans have as many freedoms afforded to them as possible. We want to make sure that their tax burden is low as possible. So who are the people that we speak for? It's those people that every year, every 2 years, we make those promises on the campaign trail of what we're going to do when we arrive in Des Moines. So if you think that those things are a radical agenda or don't fit what Iowans expect of us, I think Iowans would disagree for over a decade now. In a state that was once to be said very purple, I think we've demonstrated that with our hard work and leadership on these issues that we continue to be consistent with, that's why we are where we are. Some of the issues that we haven't always talked about, that was talked about earlier, childcare, I wasn't gonna touch a lot about that. We spent over 10 bills over to the Senate. In the final negotiations with the Senate and the governor, those bills were a part of those final packages of negotiations. Not that they weren't important to the governor and important to the Senate, but the reason they were a part of that is because of this chamber and House Republicans. Broadband, the largest investment, I had to bring that up, otherwise Bubba said he was gonna cry during my speech if I didn't, or after, if I didn't bring it up, he was gonna harass me about it at some point. But the largest investment in the state's history by, what, if I remember, 20 times in broadband to connect Iowans all across the state, another issue that we heard about from 97 of Iowa's 99 counties. And returning those tax dollars to Iowans, 2018, we passed the largest tax cut in the history of this state. And because of House Republicans, we want to do that in a responsible manner. So we had triggers in that. And we knew if we continued to make sound fiscal decisions, which we have done every year since I've been in this body, and been in the majority, I should say, every year we've done that to put ourselves in the position so we can fund our priorities as well as return those dollars to the hardworking men and women. So when the question is asked, what have we done for COVID recovery? I feel very confident in saying anytime we can leave those dollars in the pocket of hardworking Iowans, I feel pretty good about that as piece of our recovery. What else have we done for recovery? There are members in this room right here that defeated some of our friends less than a year ago because those individuals didn't listen to the people in their district. They wanted to go back to school. We had members in this room that didn't feel that was a priority, that they knew better than Iowa's parents. And guess what? We have a lot of new faces in here because of issues like that. And I'm proud of those members who are willing to take that stand and speak again on behalf of the people that elect us every day, or every 2 years. And so I won't go on too long because I'll probably end up getting myself in trouble when I get off script too far. But I think it takes a lot of courage and leadership for us to not be led by fear, but to be led by moving Iowa forward. We continue to do that. I am proud of the way we have been consistently doing that. And that is why I think Iowans continue to reward House Republicans, because they know they're going to get consistent leadership from our caucus, and we are going to continue to do that as we wrap up even today and moving forward. So with that, I think I kept it under 5 minutes like I said I would. I want to thank all of you for your hard work. Look forward to getting back here next session. And boy, I sure hope that that we don't have to deal with any more mask fights or opening of the caucus rooms and the committee rooms. I hope we don't have to deal with that again, but if we do, we'll work through that. But I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity to lead this great group of men and women on both sides of the aisle. And I think that there are a lot of things that we can be proud of as we go home for our constituents. So thank you very much, and God bless the great state of Iowa. House will stand at ease until the fall of the gavel. The House will be in order. The Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I know you're all waiting to hear that magical phrase, but Madam Chief Clerk, we didn't forget you. I just saved the best for last. Thank you to you and your staff. Without you, this building would not function. It would not work. We would not get our jobs done. You and your staff are phenomenal, and I thank you for all that you do. All right, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I know we're all waiting for it. It is with great and distinct pleasure that I say, Mr. Speaker, I move the House for the 2021 legislative session adjourn, sign a die.
You've all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschuttle. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House adjourned, sign a die.